Welcome to another inspirational message from Bridge Church Melbourne.
Well, Numa Church. Wow, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? I was chatting with Pastor Corey about that last Monday after the announcement was made, and we were just texting backwards and forwards about the exciting things that God is going to do in the days ahead. The past has been great, but we're not going to live in the rearview mirror. We're going to keep looking forward to all that He has in store. And I'm telling you, friend, I don't know why you came to church today. I don't know what's going on for you, but I am so glad that you are here. So I don't know what it is that you're dealing with right now. I don't know what you're challenged with right now. I don't know how the finances are looking. I don't know how the family's looking, but I do know this. I know how you ought to respond to how whatever is going on in your life right now. You say, how do I respond to that? Here is how you respond. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Psalm chapter 34 and verse 1, because this tells us how are we to respond to everything going on in our lives. Verse 1, it tells us, it says, I will bless the Lord. Amen? That's what I'm going to do. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what anyone says. I've made a decision that I will bless the Lord. You know, there are times when you don't feel like coming to church, or is that just me? Right? Any honest people? It's all right to be honest on a Sunday morning. You know, there are times we don't feel like going to church. There are times when we don't feel like praising God. There are times when we don't feel like doing a lot of things, but we rise above our feelings. How many of you know we're not to be led by our feelings? Amen. We rise above our feelings and we make a decision. I will. That's what David said. He said, I will bless the Lord. Man, I could be stressed right now. I could be concerned about what's going on in my business right now, but I've made a decision. I will bless the Lord. And when am I going to do that, friend? Am I just going to do it on the good days? Am I just going to do it when there's money in the account and the bills are all paid and the kids are all washed and shiny and looking wonderful? Is that the only time that I'm to bless the Lord? No, David says at all times. Amen? At all times. When the house is in disarray and there's stuff going on. No, I'm going to choose even in this situation, man, I'm going to praise the Lord. His praise, he says, shall continually be in my mouth. You say, oh, Pastor Andrew, I'm one of those quiet people, reserved people. It doesn't say just praise God if you're one of the noisy people. It doesn't say if you're an extroverted person, then you get to praise Him. It says, no, His praise is continually going to be in my mouth and my soul's going to boast in the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, the word praise that you find there in the psalm actually means to boast. It means to boast in God. If God's ever done anything good for you, it's a choice that you make to boast in Him. Don't boast about your own achievements. Boast in the goodness of your God, amen? That's what he says, I'm going to boast in God. I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for Him. That's what praise is all about. When it comes to God, friend, I'm here to tell you, you ought to be the biggest boaster going around. You know, God has done this for me and God has blessed me with this. And if it wasn't for Him stepping into my life, I don't know where I'd be. That's praise. It's not just singing in church. It's giving God adulation. That's what praise is. And it says the humble are going to hear you praising God and they're going to be glad. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. And I love that we get to do this together. Because, you know, there might be stuff going on in your life right now, but you come into this environment and you lift it up. You get your focus off of your stuff and you get your focus and attention on God. And you say, man, it might be tough right now, but God, you are so good. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, hey, don't stay home. In the tough times, get around other believers. Give God your praise. This is the best place you could be this morning. And I'm telling you, some of you came in for this reason and that reason, but I'm believing that today is your day of breakthrough. I am believing that today you're going to be delivered from something that has had a hold upon you. You're going to walk out of here free and you're going to say, man, I am pleased that I came to Bridge Church this morning. That's my prayer for you today. All right, verse 4, this is our key text. David says, I sought the Lord and He heard me. I love that. You know, have you ever wondered whether God hears your prayers? You know, you're praying about something and it's like, I don't know, they feel like they're just bouncing off the ceiling, my prayers right now. David tells us that I sought the Lord and God heard me. But he did more than just hearing David. He says, and he delivered me from all my fears. What did God do? He delivered me, David said, from all my fears. Friend, if you've been delivered from all your fears, how many fears you got left? How many? You got no fears, right? I mean, this word delivered, it means that somebody's come in and they've reached into your desperate situation and they've literally pulled you out of there. You were freaking out. You didn't know what was going on, how to get out of it. And God has literally stepped in and grabbed a hold of you and pulled you out. That's what it means to rescue you, to be delivered from impending doom. So I want to say today, if you, like David, would seek God, and if he heard you and he moved in power and he came and he delivered you from all your fears, all your worries, all your anxieties, tell me again, how many fears would you leave here with today? None, right? How much anxiety would you leave here with? None. How much dread about this week would you leave here with today? If God stepped in at the end of this service and delivered you from all your fears, how much dread would you leave here with? None, right? Friend, if that was your reality, you would walk out of these doors completely fearless. And I'm here to tell you, that is God's heart for every person in here today, that you would know a life free from fear. That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, I recognize this is a big subject, but today I just want to expose this enemy called fear. I want to explain why it is that we need to deal with it. And I'm going to share a little bit of my own journey with you and why it is that I'm passionate about people getting a hold of this. You know, there was a guy in the earlier service and he came in here just dealing with some stuff and just shared afterwards that he was so set free by just getting a hold of the Word of God this morning. His whole perspective has changed. That's what I want for you this morning. You know, the Word of God can do that. So I wrote a book about this. It's called Fearless: Freedom from Fear in an Anxious World. And if that's a help to you, you can get that at the end of the service. But my goal in preaching this today is that you would get, like David, to a place where you could say, you know what? God has delivered me from all my fears. I used to be this way and it used to be that way, but God has completely delivered me from fear. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? Do you think you'd do relationships differently if you were free from anxiety, fear, worry? Do you think that you'd do your career differently? You'd go about business differently if you had absolutely no fear at all? See, if you had no fear, friend, you would have faith for the future. You wouldn't be watching the news and going, oh my goodness, look what's happening in Syria, and look what's happening in Turkey, and look what's happening in the Middle East, and look what's happening around our world. You wouldn't have fear about the future. You'd have faith for the future. And we're going to deal with that before the end of this message. You'd have courage to step out. You'd have a willingness to do all that God is calling you to do. And I know that there are people in this service right now, and God's knocking on the door of your heart about something, and he's been speaking to you about something. But what is holding you back right now is not the gifting of God, because you have that, and it's not the anointing of God, and it's not the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that little thing called fear that stops you from stepping into all that he has for your future. So today we want to deal with this subject. We want to deal with that little thing that comes and starts to speak to us and say, maybe you won't make it. And maybe you won't be able to do that. And what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if the relationship doesn't work? And what if the marriage breaks down? And what if you don't have enough money to pay for that? That, friend, is the voice of fear. That's the voice of fear. We've all heard that voice, and it comes into our lives to paralyze us. That's its goal. It wants to paralyze us and stop us from moving forward and cause us to shrink back from all that God has for us. That's what it's trying to do. So I've been given an assignment by Holy Spirit to preach on this and teach on this. We have a YouTube channel now for our ministry. If you look up Freedom Revolution Ministries on YouTube, you'll see every week now I'm just sharing with people from the Word of God how to be delivered from fear, how to grow in their faith and be released from this thing called fear. I wrote the book to help expose this thing so that you would learn how to stop it and overcome it and refuse it access into your life. And you know, I am convinced the more that I share with people about this subject and I hear how fear has just bound people up, I'm convinced we need to talk about this in church. I just know there's a stigma attached to people, particularly guys, admitting that they have struggled in the past with fear, anxiety, worry. We don't like to talk about that. We'd rather say, well, praise God, it's all good. And there is power in your declaration. But it's also important to be honest with one another and allow the word to come in and do some things and help us get free. But you know, many of us are not good at recognizing those areas in our own lives where we have strongholds and issues and problems. You know, we can see that in other people, but sometimes it's hard to identify it in our own lives. And so for me and my own journey, for years, I denied that fear was even an issue. You know, as a pastor, I figured, well, I'm a pastor. I've been preaching for now 30 years and leading people for more than 20 years, planted and led a couple of churches, and I don't have an issue with fear. You know, I kind of figured that, well, I know what the Bible says and that's all good. And, you know, and I found myself avoiding anything that would cause me to get into a situation where maybe I would experience feelings of fear or worry or anxiety. Now, even though I did my best to deny it and cover it up and make excuses for it, Megan could tell you about situations where I didn't cover it up too well because she was well aware of what was going on, right? You know, when you're living with someone, married to someone, they kind of get to know a fair few things about you. They don't just see you on your Sunday best, right? And so she would tell you about seasons in ministry where I was taking antidepressants, a couple of years there, where I was taking antidepressants because every time I got anxious about something or fearful about something, I would get sick to my stomach. And so I went to the doctor and they said, oh, well, you just need to take antidepressants. Fine. I figured, oh, well, that's good. I'm not depressed, but I'll take them for my stomach. And so for a couple of years in ministry, I didn't see anything wrong with that. I just did it, right? She would tell you about times when we would fly into another country and in the middle of the night, I would wake up and my heart was pounding, my chest was going crazy and my breathing was going. And I would say, oh, yes, that's just jet lag. I'm just jet lagged. Well, really what was going on was I was having a panic attack, but I wasn't willing to call it that, admit that. She would tell you about seasons in ministry where there was stuff that just needed to be dealt with. You know, in ministry with people and church life, there's just things. And there were seasons where I didn't want to deal with those things because I didn't want to have fallout with other people. Because I was so tied up in what this person might think and what that person might think that I just didn't want to deal with it. Have you noticed how we're really good at seeing issues in other people, but we're not so good at seeing them in ourselves? Some of you already, you're just like, man, I am so pleased that they came to church this morning. They really need to hear this message, right? It's easy to do that and think, well, that'll be a good message for them. And they really need to hear. And we don't see it for ourselves. You know, the prophet Jeremiah talks about that in Jeremiah 17:9. He says, the heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful. It's a puzzle that no one can figure out. See, he's saying, friend, that in our natural state, we're just really good at deceiving ourselves. We just see inconsistencies in our own life and we kind of brush them under the carpet and deny that they even exist. You know, Jesus said the truth will set you free. But the problem is if you don't know the truth, you can stay in bondage to things that Jesus died on the cross to free you from. So positionally, you are free. Jesus did it. He achieved it for you. But if you don't know that and you don't walk daily in the revelation of that, you can remain bound by things your whole life. And that's what a lot of people do in this area. And so in the book, I just teach people how to rise up in faith and really renew their mind and their thinking. And how do they actually cast fear down? How do they live in freedom from fear and worry and anxiety? But you know, the only reason that I'm at all qualified to teach on that is because when fear came knocking on my door in a very critical season in my life, instead of going to pieces, I decided to get into the Word of God and find out, how do I defeat this thing? You know, I want to ask you today, what do you do when fear comes knocking at the door? What do you do when anxiety starts knocking at your door? When you go into a situation and worry starts to grip you? Because a lot of people open the door. They don't know that they don't have to receive the package, right? So someone's knocking on your door to deliver a package. They don't realize, they don't have to accept it. They don't have to open the door. They don't have to let that person in. But the fear comes knocking through those thoughts, through those ideas. And people don't realize they don't have to open the door. They certainly don't have to yield to the fear. People don't know that. See, they don't really understand properly what it is that Jesus has already done for us. They don't understand who they are in him and what authority they carry. They don't know that if we resist the enemy, particularly in this area, he must flee. Now, he may come back again 20 minutes later, but that's all right. You stand there in your authority and you resist him. And then he comes back again 20 minutes later, and again 20 minutes later. And I'm telling you, friend, after a while, you will see when you learn to resist this thing that comes against you, you will find everything calms down, everything settles down. And it won't be long before those intervals get longer and longer and longer. Because you know why? He says, I'm not going to bother with them. They know how to deal with this. I'll go bother someone who doesn't know. That's the sort of stuff that I want to help people understand. But here's the thing. When it comes to fear and anxiety and worry, what you don't know can actually be really damaging to you. When you don't know what this says about that, you can be putting up with all kinds of stuff. And that's what the devil wants. He wants us to be ignorant about this thing. He doesn't ever want you to understand your authority to speak to that thing and command it to leave your life. If he can keep you from hearing this message, that's his plan. Well, we've already got over that one, right? So you're going to hear it. Let's just get it today. See, what most people don't realize is that so many of the things going on in our world right now are fear-based. The origin of those things is fear. They are designed to put fear in you. And there's a reason for that. You say, why is there so many fearful messages? Why is it on our news all the time? Why, you know, I can't help but look on social media and I see fearful things. Why is that? I'll tell you why. It is because without the presence of fear, the devil is limited in his operation against you. Without the presence of fear, there is only so much that he can do. Fear is his greatest weapon against you. He needs fear. He needs you to respond to those fearful messages and to give in to that to have impact on your life. Otherwise, he's defeated, right? Jesus defeated him on the cross. He has no access to you unless you give it to him. And the way you give it to him is he comes with those fearful messages. The messages come, what about this? What about that? What about something else? As soon as you agree to that and accept that in, now we got a problem. Now we're starting to believe the lies of the enemy instead of the truth of what God says. So that's what he does. So just like God needs faith in order to cause his word to come to pass, so the devil needs fear and you responding to the fear for his lies to come to pass in your life. And so what he does is he disguises fear in a variety of different forms so that you don't recognize that in your life or that coming against you. That's why a lot of people don't realize that anger is derived from fear. People don't realize that. People don't realize that dread is a form of fear. Man, I'm so dreading that meeting on Wednesday. That's a form of fear. People don't realize that stress is many times derived from fear. You go, oh, I thought stress was just a result of working hard. No, no, the Bible says work hard. Make sure you work hard and be purposeful in life. But see, stress comes when we're afraid that if we don't work hard enough, we might not achieve this, we might not have enough, we might miss out on something, people might be disappointed with us. Fear is the motivator behind what's causing so many people today to be stressed. It's what drives people. You say, but isn't fear a good motivator? No, fear is a terrible motivator. You know, maybe you used fear in some time in your life to push through something or to do something for the first time. Fear was a motivator. I'm telling you, friend, when you get into a habit of doing that, you accept more fear into your life because it just becomes a habit. And that is a terrible way to live. Have a look at this scripture with me. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15. It says there that Jesus came to deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. I want to tell you today, there are billions of people around the world, many Christians amongst them, who live their whole lives in bondage to fear. They're actually bound up in fear. And they can dress up and look nice in church on Sunday morning, but if you get underneath that, you would discover that they are paralyzed by fear. See, there's a reason why people won't get on an aeroplane and go visit their friends. It's because they're afraid of flying. You know, there's a reason why people won't look you in the eye on the train. It's because they are afraid. There's a reason why, as Pastor Luke was saying before, people struggle with giving and tithing and honoring God with their finances. It's because they are afraid if they trust God in that area, maybe they won't have enough. Maybe they can't pay the bills. If I give to God, that's 10% less than, you know, and they start doing the maths. They're afraid. That's fear. And it controls so much of what many people do today. I mean, just think about it. We don't want to step into this area because we've got a fear of what somebody might say about us or think about us. We're afraid that maybe we won't get through the exam. We're afraid that something's going to happen to the kids. We've got a fear of being in a terrorist attack or getting sick or staying single or the market crashing or of rejection or of losing all of our money or losing our job or being hurt or losing a loved one. They are fears that control people. Stop them from doing all the wonderful things that God has called us to do. I'm telling you, friends, we need to get a handle on this thing because it is paralyzing the body of Christ. We've got to get honest with ourselves, recognize where fear has had a hold on us, and learn how to eradicate it from our lives. And I'm telling you today, in the next few minutes, as this service comes to a close, I'm going to give you the opportunity to take a stand and say, I am not going to deal with this thing anymore. I am not going to put up with it in my life anymore. I'm going to drive it from my life today. We're going to go back to that song, There's Power in the Name of Jesus, because there is power in His name. At His name, that must flee. It must leave your life. It must. It's so important that we get a hold of this. According to the Bible, fear is not natural. That's what 2 Timothy 1:7 says. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what He's given us is power, love, and a sound mind. So He's making it very, very clear. Fear is not from Him. It comes from the enemy. It's not something as a believer that you want to have any part in. What is fear? Essentially, fear is a spirit. That's what it is. That's why you can speak to it in the name of Jesus and command it to go. That's the way Jesus operated. It's the way you need to operate. Fear is something that comes from the outside and it's trying to get on the inside of you. It comes with through messages, through words, through ideas, through things that we take in our senses. It's trying to get on the inside of you because it knows that if it can get on the inside, that's where it causes the most damage. See, in the same way that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, fear comes the same way. Fear comes by you hearing, but by you hearing and believing things that are contrary to what God says. So when you hear something frightening and you go, well, I guess I just better believe that. Well, now you've decided that you're going to allow that fear in contrast to God. He says, I'll never leave you. Oh, I never forsake you. I'll hold on to you. Cast all my cares on you. You say, sorry, God, I can't. I must believe the fear. Now we've yielded to the fear. That's why it's so deadly, because it contaminates our faith. It grants access to the enemy in our lives, and we don't want him messing in our lives. Amen? All right? Fear is not okay. Society says, oh, it's all right, just have a little bit of fear. Everybody needs fear. Everybody's got it. It'll help you to go forward and overcome some things. Listen, if you listen to that message and you keep embracing that message, what happens is after a while, you start to own it. This is my anxiety. You got to understand, this is my anxiety. I mean, I don't like it, but now I've owned it. It's mine. And we start talking like that and we say, well, I'm just a worrier. I just worry all the time. Well, we're not supposed to live that way. I'm not saying that. Jesus said that. We're supposed to cast all of our cares upon him. He's our Prince of Peace, amen? But when we start to own those things because we're listening to the world, we're taking our cues from the wrong area. We need to take our cues from what the Word of God says, amen? You know, according to the Word, when you allow fear in, it's because you're putting more faith in those fearful messages than in what God says. Fear is faith in the enemy and in his lies. It's a corrupted form of faith. It's trusting the lies of the enemy more than you trust the goodness of God. When you grasp that, friend, you will recognize there is no place in your life of fear. There is no place where you'd say, oh, well, that's just a good fear. No, no, there's no good fears. There's no such thing as, oh, just a little bit of fear, that's good for you. That's like saying a little bit of idolatry is good for you. Or a little bit of adultery is good for you. Or a little bit of murder is good for you. No, no, it's not good for you. It's all bad for you. Amen? That's what the Bible says. All fear is from the enemy. It's designed to ruin your life. But the thing is, until Jesus comes again, the reality is we're going to be faced 24/7 with fear-inducing messages, things trying to get on the inside of us, trying to unsettle us. And we shouldn't be surprised by that because the Bible says clearly in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, this is God speaking, and he says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous or dangerous times will come. Now, I don't know when the last of the last days is, but I know this. We are living in the latest days that anyone's ever lived in, right? We are much later days than the 1950s and the 1850s. So I don't know when the day and the hour is, but I know we're living in the latest days that anyone's ever lived in. And does God say here that as we get to the last days, things are just going to get safer and better and more wonderful? Is that what he says there? No, he doesn't. He says we can expect perilous, dangerous times. And you would agree with me, that's what we see in our news all the time, right? Danger, danger, perilous, danger. Now, here's the good news. The good news is Jesus is coming again. Amen? That's what the Word declares. He is going to fix this mess. The devil will be banished, and then it's going to be safe everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. I'm looking forward to that day. But for now, God says, know this. In these last days, you're going to be faced with perilous times. Well, all right, God, you've said it. So does that just mean we should cower in fear? We should just surrender, just freak out about everything going on? Well, that's how a lot of people live. You know, 1 in 8 Australians right now are medicated just to deal with their fears. You know, 40 million Americans have got clinically diagnosed anxiety disorder. 40 million. There's been a 20% increase in the past 10 years of primary age children that are suffering with anxiety because they don't know how to deal with it. And so the Word says, know this, in the last days, dangerous times are coming. And the rest of the chapter, Paul goes into detail about the scary things that are going to happen. But then in chapter 4, verse 5, he says this, but as for you, he's talking to the church, to Christians. He says, but as for you, Christian, you be calm, you be cool, and you be steady. I love that. See, this is God knowing that we would be alive in this time, knowing that we would hear all these fear-inducing messages that we could allow to cause us to fear. He says, dangerous times are coming, but you, Christian, you be calm, you be cool, you be steadfast. Friend, I want you to know today, if you want to win the battle against fear, your automatic response to those fear-inducing messages, to the bad reports, anything like that, should be, well, what does the Word of God say about that? Not what does social media say, not to what all of my friends say, not any of that, but what does the Word of God say? We got to think on this. We got to meditate on this. We got to believe this. We got to speak this. How did Jesus put it? He said in Matthew 24:6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Aren't we hearing that right now? He says, yeah, you're going to hear about that, but see to it that you are not troubled. In other words, that's something we can do, right? John 14:27, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Oh, but Pastor Andrew, you don't understand. I can't help it. Yes, you can. According to Jesus, you can. He would never tell us something in his word that was impossible for us to do. He says, stop allowing yourselves to go down that path, to believe those lies. The most common thing Jesus said of everything else in all of the Gospels was, do not be afraid. He said, I'm your Prince of Peace. I'll be there in your storm. I promise. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You don't need to be afraid. I didn't know that. I've been a Christian since I was a kid. I've been in ministry for 30 years now. I didn't know that. And so I kind of bumbled along and did my thing. And then 4 years ago, God called us to hand our church over to a pastor friend of ours and step into this season where we're trusting God completely for our supply and just stepping out by faith. And all of a sudden, every single day it seemed, I was faced with situations that were beyond my ability to control. Because back when I ran church, I had a wage, I had staff, I could control it. But suddenly I had none of those things outside of my control. I remember we were flying to Asia one time to preach. I was preaching about 10 meetings to a church of about 5,000 people, this big, big event. And on the flight over, I sensed the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, son, you need to learn what my word says about overcoming fear, because the church is awash with fear and I want to use you to help people get free from this thing. Now, I heard that message, but it didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, so I wrote it down and I went back to my movie. I didn't think anything more of it. Except the next night, when I was lying in bed on the eve of that big preaching engagement, I'm telling you, friend, I was hit with a spiritual attack like I have never known in all my years. It was so intense. It was like wave after wave of terror was just coming over me. I don't know where it came from. There seemed to be no reason for it. Megan was asleep in another bed. We had two single beds in the place that we were staying, and I didn't want to wake her up, but it was bad. And it just went on like for a couple of hours. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't rest. It would come in waves. By 3 o'clock in the morning, I was shaking uncontrollably. I couldn't stop myself shaking. My heart was nearly beating out of my chest, and nothing that I knew to do as a good pastor, nothing that I knew to do would stop it. It just kept coming and coming and coming. Here I was being invited to come as the guest minister. I'm going to preach on faith and trusting God. And I'm lying there in this bed shaking like a leaf and freaking out, and I don't know how to stop it. It got so intense after about 4 o'clock in the morning. I remember yielding to the fear. I just didn't know what to do. It was just like I surrendered to it. And I'm telling you, when I did that, it just got so much worse. It just got so much worse. And so I prayed in that moment the most faithless, stupid prayer that I've ever prayed in my life. I prayed that God in that moment would stop my heart and kill me and take me to heaven so I didn't have to feel like that anymore. I knew I'd see Megan again and my friends and family, but I'm like, God, you just got to get me out of here because I don't know how to deal with this thing. Now, thankfully, I've learned a few things since then. And I've learned about the power of your declaration. And I've learned that when you yield to fear or anxiety or worry like that, when you just go and surrender to it, you might as well say, come on in, Mr. Devil. You come and do whatever you want in my life. I welcome you in. And that's exactly what he does. Now, thankfully, I didn't have a heart attack. And God didn't answer that stupid, faithless prayer of mine. Eventually, the sun came up and my fears subsided and I preached at that conference. But I'm telling you, when I got home, I said to Megan, I am canceling every preaching engagement for the next 6 months. And I started to get into the Word of God and find out how to deal with this thing called fear. How do I beat it with the Word of God? And so all I did was I discovered what this had to say, and then I put it in here so that other people could understand. How do I expose this spirit of fear? How do I stop it from getting access to my life? And how do I live in the victory and the blessing of what Jesus has already done for me? But you know, the bottom line when it comes to freedom from fear is this. Listen to me very carefully. We don't have to struggle and strain and fight and stress to try and win some battle against the devil. We don't have to do that because that victory has already been won for us. Isn't that good? We don't have to do that. We don't have to struggle. We simply have to learn day by day, how do I maintain the victory that Jesus has already obtained for me? How do I maintain what he's obtained? And so this book really, if it'll help you, it's just a tool. It's just a tool, life skills tool for you or someone in your world that's struggling with this to learn to live in victory. And praise God, some people are reading it and applying it and they're getting free from this thing called fear. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the band to come. And in just a moment, if that's something that you've been struggling with, we're going to sing and we're going to declare that there's power in the name of Jesus. And in just a moment, if that's something that you just feel like, man, I'm done with that, I just need to make a stand today before God and say, I refuse to live that way anymore. Just that one moment decision that you make, friend, I'm telling you, it makes all the difference. It doesn't mean that you have all the tools and the whatever. Get in the Word of God. It will show you. Get this book if it's helpful. It'll show you. But just that one decision today, friend, for you to say, no, I refuse. I'm not going to live that way anymore. I tell you, if you'll be brave enough, in just a moment as we come to a time of praise, if you will be brave enough to get out of your seat, I'm going to call you to come down the front and just stand here and as a declaration, it's a faith walk to say, that's it. I am done with this thing. I'm not putting up with anxiety anymore. I'm not putting up with fear anymore. I'm not putting up with dread anymore. I refuse to live that way. The Bible tells me that whom the Son sets free, they're free indeed. And I want to live in freedom. Listen to this. This lady writes to us, I'm 33 years old. I've struggled with fear since the age of 3. It's crippled my life so badly to the point where I've been unable to function normally. This lady had trouble getting out of bed most days. She's got a number of kids and just limping through life. She says, I have physical ailments from my fear. I haven't been in church in so long, but my friend invited me last week and after the service, I purchased your book. I told your wife that I've never completed a book ever. But as I begun to read it, I'm learning things that I never knew before. So my goal, she says, is to read it from start to finish and to apply it to my life. My extended family don't know this battle that I'm in with fear and anxiety. Only my husband and close friends are aware. In our culture, anxiety and fear is seen as weakness. But she says, but I'm done with hiding and whatever's been in the darkness is coming into the light. Don't you love that? That's someone who's starting to get it. Today, she said, I experienced a dizzy spell and it brought on my anxiety and the thoughts started to race. My heart was pounding. It lasted for an hour. I tried to sleep with the kids, but I couldn't. Then I Googled, because that's what I normally do, stress and dizzy spells. But before the page had even loaded, I put my phone down. I went to God's word and I did what you taught in the book. I opened my mouth and I rebuked every fear in Jesus' name. Since then, my heart rate has come right back down. I'm no longer feeling anxious. The book has been such a blessing and God is so good. Isn't that amazing? Let's give God some praise for lives that are being changed. I want you to stand to your feet all over this room. I just know that as I've been speaking about this today, for many people in this room, it's been one of those things that, you know, you don't talk much about it, you don't make a big deal about it, but you know that it's stopping you from all those things you want to do, all those things you'd love to do. You're like, man, if I could just be free from that thing, I know God would use me in a brand new, powerful way. Listen, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live with anxiety. You don't have to live with fear. Perfect love came in Jesus, and perfect love is what casts out fear. You can live in that today.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. It is an incredible privilege to share with you the Word of God, and we trust that you've been blessed by listening. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today we want to extend an invitation to you to begin the faith journey of following Jesus. The Bible teaches us every one of us have been created for relationship with God. Sin has separated every one of us from that relationship, but God has provided a solution in giving us His Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. You have an opportunity today to respond with a confession of faith and a decision to believe in Jesus. Today we invite you to make a deliberate decision to invite Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. Romans 10:10 says that with our hearts we believe and are justified, and with our mouths we confess and we are saved. So right now, if you have faith in your heart and you're ready to make that decision, you can simply pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. Thank you that through His death and resurrection, I am forgiven of my sin to start a brand new life. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, and to fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Today, I choose you as my Lord and Savior, and I thank you that I am now born again as a child of God. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would love to know and we would love to help you in any way that we can. You can contact us on our Bridge Church website, bridgechurch.com, and we'd love to hear from you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you have been challenged and encouraged.